So our guest today is the executive director of the Housing Authority of Cook County. The Housing Authority of Cook County is the second largest provider of affordable housing in the state of Illinois. Our guest today earned his bachelor's degree in political science from UIC. He is the fabulously proud father of two sons, one who's a fireballer over at Whitney Young, a fabulous pitcher. And so is that Nathaniel or Nicholas?
Nicholas.
Nicholas. So remember that name when he's drafted by one of these fancy teams out there. Our guest today is the proud father of two sons, Nathaniel and Nicholas. Ladies and gentlemen, Rich Minacchio. Richard. All right. Thank you, sir.
Thank you very much, Jay. And thank you all for coming today. It's so nice to see so many good old friends and a lot of new friends this morning, this afternoon. So I appreciate it. So Jay did mention my oldest son, Nicholas, who's, you know, they get that age and they're a little full of themselves. So he is a great pitcher, but he actually, we played a little basketball every so often, and he beat me for the first time in a one-on-one. So the next day I came back and said, you know, we got to play again, okay? And he said, Dad, you can't play 2 days in a row. But I did play the second day, and I did come back, so now it's 1-1. But it's good. They should be better than us, right? I hope everybody got a chance to see the slideshow, because I think even if I wasn't to say anything, that says it all. We've been able to help, and it's such a privilege. We've helped so many people in need. And those pictures really show the families, the kids, the elderly, the disabled that we touch every day. And it's truly a privilege. And to have it just in that format, no words, just the pictures, I think is awesome. I want to introduce a couple of my board members. Our chairman, who's been with us for a long time, and he's got a great knowledge of affordable housing himself, and is very, very supportive of us, Mr. Paul Roldan. Thanks, Paul. And another icon in the affordable housing business, our board member, who's also extremely helpful to us, is Saul Klibanow. Saul? I know she wanted to be with us today, but a lot of her staff members are here from the county, and I appreciate it. But I would be remiss if I didn't mention President Preckwinkle.
She's on her way.
Oh, great. Thank you. I'm glad. I can talk about her when she's here. But thank you very much to the county, our partners there, without whom we would not be able to do what we do. So I've been up here in a few different positions over the years, and I think... you know, what I'm doing right now, my experience in the federal government, at HUD, at the city, at CHA, I think has led to it's a perfect fit, what we have here. Because, you know, most folks didn't know too much about the Cook County Housing Authority, right? Before we started 6 years ago, most of the team members. And I should, before I go further, can we all the HAC members, please stand? I've got to say, I've been lucky to have some really good teams in my career, but this one is second to none. And it's because they have the heart and they have a mission. And this is all about the mission, because you wouldn't do this kind of work otherwise. So what's the basic problem we have? Is it just too many people can't afford their housing? And it's not just limited to very low-income or low-income folks, as we know. We've got more people now with worst-case housing needs in this country than ever before, several hundred thousand in Cook County. And it's basically, I mean, it's simple. It's the housing costs go like this, and incomes go like this. So it's really no surprise that we've gotten to this point. But the problem is that federal assistance hasn't kept up, and the market hasn't supplied the housing that's needed for these the middle income and the lower income. I mean, we've got tons of construction now in this city, and it's a wonderful thing. But most of it is office, commercial, and high-end. And that's a great thing. But the market really isn't built to support the demographics that we need more housing in. That's why the government's involved. Also, and it's very, I think the statistic is kind of out there now, but poverty really knows no boundaries. Today, in suburban Cook County, there are more poor people than there are in the city. So we've got this, we've had this poverty sprawl, and poor people in poverty is every place. I mean, and it's not just in the areas where we have concentrated poverty, which is a challenge for all of us. I mean, some of the north and northwest suburbs that we serve people with vouchers, about 20 or 25% of those districts now have kids who are in the free or reduced school lunch program. So while we might want to think that it's only in certain areas and it's only certain people that are affected, it's really in the entire county and the entire country, for that matter. Another statistic that's sort of mind-boggling. If you earn the minimum wage, the Cook County minimum wage, I'd like to welcome President Tony Preckwinkle.
So what
I was going to mention before the president came in is she and I have had the privilege of working together for a number of years at the city when she was an alderman and I was in various capacities. And I mean, I've said this before, but her dedication to public service, but especially those who really need it, the less fortunate, is one that I've never seen. And she's without her support in this job, we would not be able to do many of the things that I'm going to talk about. And she's also the special guest at the City Club tomorrow morning. Thank you, President Preckwin. So what I was going to say is, if you earn the minimum wage now, hardworking person, work 40 hours a week, $8.25, you have to work 86 hours to afford a one-bedroom apartment, a modest one-bedroom apartment. 86 hours. I mean, that's crazy. And I think it epitomizes the issue. You either got to double or triple up. You've got to work two or three jobs, and it's still hard to pay the rent. So people that don't have the luxury of the subsidies, and we don't have nearly enough subsidy to give, these folks every day have to decide, am I going to pay the rent? Am I going to buy food? Am I going to buy medicine? And that's too many Americans and too many people in Cook County, and it's not right. So these are the challenges we face. We're fortunate to be able to help those that we do. But for everyone we do help, there's at least four others that don't get the assistance that they need. So the question of the day, what are we doing about it? So basically we have a three-pronged approach. First and foremost was to revitalize our housing stock. We are relatively small in how many units we own, about 2,100, but they're mostly high-rise, solid buildings, and they're all over the county. And they help people who truly would have no other alternative if those buildings cease to be viable. Second, we have targeted the use of our vouchers to special populations, people who otherwise would be homeless or living in situations that would that they shouldn't be living in, to be perfectly frank. And third, we've made a commitment to educate, train, and employ our residents. So those are the three things that we agreed upon early on that we were going to strive for. And I'm happy to say, for the most part, we've made significant progress on these. You saw the slideshow earlier. I think it showed some of the new buildings, the new units that we've constructed. $177 million has been leveraged in the last 6 years to preserve affordable housing in Cook County. $177 million. Thank you. So that includes federal, state, tax credit equity. And I'd be remiss if I didn't thank our friends at IDA right now, the Illinois Housing Development Authority, who are an incredible partner and have, without them, we wouldn't be able to do the work we do. So thank you, IDA. Private debt covers some of the, not a whole lot, but some of the, some of our sources of funding. And then, very significantly, other federal funds that we leverage, and those come from Cook County. Without those funds, these complicated deals wouldn't materialize. So it's not easy to structure these deals, but having access to these partners is why we've been able to do all this work. And then I should also mention one of the keys is the Housing Authority serves as its own developer. So what does that mean? Well, what it really means is we get to keep the fees. And we do. We recycle those fees back into the business, either in amenities to the housing, other programs I'm going to talk about in a second. But it's very important that this source of funds is available because the government money is not going up, as we know it's going down. So we need to be entrepreneurial. So we've done 500 apartments in the northern suburbs so far. That's Evanston, Skokie, and Arlington Heights. We've got another 750. 750 apartments are going to be under rehab by the end of this year. So we're going to be a construction company, too. But we do hire contractors for that. And you saw a lot of the work on the slideshow. But, you know, all the numbers and all the good things, money's key. But the real, I think, and what I remember, and I think because President Preckwinkle has been to a lot of the buildings and has talked to a lot of the residents, just to see the looks on the folks' faces, to have a new, brand new unit. They were maybe homeless. And now not only are we putting a roof over their head, but beautiful new floors, cabinets, appliances. It's something that a lot of people have never had, and it really makes it all worthwhile. So that's why we do it. I mentioned some special populations that we help. Homelessness certainly continues to be a huge issue. We set aside vouchers to house families with children in the south suburbs, put a two-year time limit on it to help people get back on their feet. We have paid special attention to our citizens that are returning from incarceration. We're one of the first housing authorities in the country, actually, to work with HUD to make it, to really take the ban off moving back to public housing. So if you've committed a crime, you paid your debt, it doesn't mean you can't come back. If you've rehabilitated yourself, we welcome people back, and we're one of the leaders in the country on that. Also, 65 people have purchased homes through the voucher program. And that's a program that's actually picking up as we speak. We've got some great people working on that. So getting the home ownership rate back up for low to moderate income people is very important. One other program in terms of where people live, we've made a special effort. Families with kids that live in the south suburbs, some of the more challenged suburbs, we made a special effort to help these families move to areas of opportunity, areas that have better schools, safer streets, better transportation, access to jobs. I'm really proud to say that we've moved 200 families in the last year and a half from these areas. And the reason why this is so critical is because, and I think a lot of people have heard this now, but tragically, the most likely indicator of a child's success today is their zip code of origin. Their zip code of origin. It's not a meritocracy. And we're fighting against that, and we're going to change it. So as I mentioned, we moved 200 families to these neighborhoods to give kids a fighting chance. The third area I mentioned was education, training, and employment. I've put a lot of emphasis on this because You know, you can do all the bricks and mortar work that you want, and we know how to build stuff. But if you're not going to help the people who live in the apartments, at the end of the day, what are we really doing? And another unfortunate statistic, 90,000 young people in Cook County between the ages of 18 and 24 are neither going to school or working at the moment. So this is a population that we're very committed to helping. President Preckwinkle is very committed to helping. Under her leadership, a program called Opportunity Works was created this summer. Great program. Internships for kids, jobs for kids. About 50 of our kids have registered. They're in the process of following through now. But that's, you know, that's a great start because we're going to get these kids when they're younger, and then we're going to build a program. We also had a wonderful program with the Forest Preserve. 50 young people went and actually were in the Forest Preserves in the south suburbs every day, worked, put a little money in their pocket, actually got real-life experience. It's called the Conservation Corps. And it was just, when you see the kids who maybe never were at a Forest Preserve before and get this kind of experience, bonding with other kids. So these are the kinds of things that we're going to build upon in the future. And the key, again, is you've got to access the programs that are available or create the ones that aren't available. And we have to pool our resources. I mean, I know we have CETA in the room today. Mr. Rice, we work closely with CETA. Thank you, CETA. We work closely with Dr. Shannon's group on health and housing. So it's a matter of that's how government is supposed to work. You take the resources, you leverage them, everybody works together. We were really proud of a scholarship program that we started. We've got scholarships at three community colleges, Prairie State, Harper, and then next year South Suburban. So these are first-generation kids who otherwise would not be going to school. We work with the colleges with a group called 1 Million Degrees. And we make up the difference between what the financial aid covers and what it doesn't. But more importantly, kids have mentors, and they get stipends to help them through the school year. We've got 18 kids enrolled, made it through year one. We're going to have another 40 starting at Prairie State this year, and we're building our programs at Harper and South Suburban. So, again, it's about education. But much more obviously needs to be done. And not going to talk about politics up here because that could go on for a long time. But to be perfectly frank, I mean, two federal policy changes are needed. And these are changes that aren't just a manifestation of this administration, although it doesn't seem to be going in the right direction. These have been out there for a while. Okay, first, federal investment in housing. 20 years ago, there was a program called Hope 6, and Hope 6 redeveloped all of the Chicago Housing Authority. Now, you read a lot in the papers nowadays about how that was a big failure, but really, if you would have been here in 95, and I know the president was and others, I mean, there was really devastated housing and a lot of work to be done. So whether or not you believe in the transformation or not, the fact is thousands of new housing units were built. And the only way that was done was through federal subsidies, Hope 6. That's gone. The other thing the federal government needs to do is increase vouchers. We administer about 15,000 vouchers in the county. I think if we opened our waiting list, we'd probably have 150,000 or more. So the demand is great. And it's been the most proven way to end homelessness and help working poor people afford the rent. We have the solution. It's housing vouchers. We just need more. Secondly, in terms of policy, tax reform. That's pretty a topic now that's on everybody's mind because it's talked about in the news. The tax code is complicated, right? I know we probably have some tax lawyers in the room. But when it comes down to it, it's about who gets what. Perfect case in point. You've got the HUD budget at about $48 billion. You got the value of the mortgage interest deduction at about $100 billion. So basically what we're doing is we're funding HUD at this level, but we're subsidizing wealthy homeowners that really don't need it at the tune of $100 billion. I mean, it is that simple, and it's not right. And we know we have to fight to change that. And advocacy does make a difference, because I think without the advocacy that was done this year, we saw a Republican Congress actually throw away the president's budget on housing. And that budget was very, very, very draconian. And the Republican House kept it pretty steady from last year's level. That's advocacy. So I think that, you know, we got to fight for what's right. And tax reform working for average Americans, and not just the wealthy, and not just the corporate titans, that's what needs to happen. So I'd like to finish on a positive note. One of our top priorities, and certainly one of the top priorities of President Preckwinkle, is the revitalization of the South Suburbs. So this year, we are going to invest $76 million in the South Suburbs. That's Ford Heights, Chicago Heights, Robbins, Harvey, and Park Forest, to rehabilitate 550 apartments, all in the South Suburbs. This is hundreds and hundreds of jobs, hundreds of ancillary jobs, economic activity that's going to build some hope in these areas that really need it. So we're very proud of that, and looking forward to it starting in October. So I think, you know, when I started this, it wasn't really clear to me how much we could get done. But if you stay at it and you think big, good things can happen. So while it may look a little bleak now, I think people like us fighting the good fight can change policy and really make America what it should be for everybody. Thank you.
Good afternoon. So I'm going to take the president's privilege here and say a few words about RISD. We had a Forest Preserve District meeting this morning, and it ran a little late, and I didn't get here timely to introduce him or say good things about him beforehand, so I'm going to take the opportunity to do that now. I've known Rich a long time. I was elected alderman in 1991. I can't remember, when did you come in city government, Rich?
95,
so what's that, 22 years, something like that? And he served in various capacities in the city and in the Chicago Housing Authority, and I worked with him in all those capacities. There isn't a finer public servant in the city. And you may have noted, you know, he's head of a housing authority, and he talks about employment, training, and education, because clearly people have to have a path toward productivity and self-sufficiency, and if you're going to help them along that path, then you have to be focused on those things, education, training, and employment. So I'm very grateful to him for his leadership. I'm grateful to Paul Rodin, who's here, who chairs the Housing Authority of Cook County, and the other staff and board members who are here for their good work. But I particularly want to take this opportunity to say good things about Rich. Thank you.
And that's what President Preckwinkle gets to do. In case you all didn't know, I am probably President Preckwinkle's biggest fan. So she can do that anytime she wants to. But she stole some of my notes. And I know she didn't peek because I was sitting over here. One of the things that stuck out to me, and we have several questions. Did you get your water?
Yes.
Okay. Is that it's amazing to me that you know, he runs the Housing Authority of Cook County, but and we heard lots of good stats, lots of important stats, but we heard just as much about housing, employment, training, and education. It really is in my notes, President. So, I don't know. It's no fun when teachers peak, man. So I think it's important that he's got it. He has the right mix, right? That if we don't train people, they can't have jobs. If they don't have education, they can't get trained. So it's like that cycle, and they can't have some place to stay. So when I heard about the stats, and I know I wrote them down somewhere about the North Shore.
Yes.
I mean, I read some. I can't find my notes there. I read them. I wrote them down. And then a whole bunch of stuff going on in the South Shore. You got the right mix. So let's get into these questions, okay? Mr. Tom Donovan, who happens to be a wonderful city club member, says, you're a talented and passionate executive. If Cook County Commissioner were present at today's luncheon, what would you say to them about funding your program in the soda tax? I just thought we'd start off easy, right?
Can you repeat? I got to want to hear the whole thing.
Mr. Donovan, would you like to?
I said that you're a talented and passionate executive.
Thank you.
You had the county board here, President Preckland, what would your message be to them on the need for funding for your program, i.e., soda tags and others? The responsibility of the board.
Sure. So I think that President Preckwinkle, certainly, and many members of the county board realize their responsibility to the public, especially those who are less fortunate. And sometimes these kinds of decisions have to be made. And this is one of those times. So what I would say is we could do two or three times as much as I'm actually doing now, Tom, if we had more resources to help people who really need it.
Virginia Pace, are you here from the Lightengale Group?
I'm here.
Good, because if you submit a question, you're not here. Sometimes I don't ask them. Thank you for your question. She says, are you able to track outcomes for families moving to areas of opportunity? If so, how and what are your results, if you can share them?
Thank you for that question, Virginia. So as I'm not sure if I mentioned this in the speech, but this is a relatively new program. We just started about a year and a half ago. And we had a talk about this yesterday. We're tracking the families in terms of the kids going to school, how much better the parents are doing. But one thing I wanted to point out, we are the only housing authority in the country that's doing this that's not under some sort of federal court decree. So we're doing it because it's the right thing to do. But outcomes are obviously very important to track, and we have a lot of researchers who are interested in that as well. So we will be doing that.
This question is from Michael Radzilowski. Did I say it right?
That's close enough.
Okay. I'm from the law offices of Michael Radzilowski. He is a City Club board member. I'm a City Club member, and he says, how does the agency integrate with CHA? Any efforts to integrate housing in the city as well as in the suburbs? You talked about that a little bit. Maybe you can.
So our colleagues at CHA, of course, have the entire city. We have everything around it. The one way that we work closest with CHA is because families can take their housing voucher any place they want in the country. So we are seeing actually a pretty big upsurge in the number of families that are moving to the suburbs. So it's more of a technical type arrangement, but I think that hopefully they're on the right track over there, and they definitely have a lot to do.
So, I'm a St. Louis Cardinals fan. Hey. Who said boo? Really? I'm a downstater, so, you know. You're going to have to help me with this question. What are your views as to the near-term prospects of the Chicago Cubs? This is from Sean Heffernan.
Sean Heffernan.
You better be glad I asked your question.
Sean's a big Sox fan. I'm a little worried like everybody else, but we're going to hold on.
That was safe. That was safe, wasn't it? Lawrence White from Chapman and Cutler here. Hey, do you have plans to bond finance for any of its upcoming projects?
Good question. Thank you. So for this next round of projects, the county was gracious enough to originate the bonds for us. That's actually going to be happening this month. But I do think we are looking at that, yes, in the future. Because, you know, we're going to rehabilitate our housing, but we need to add a lot more housing to the stock. So I do think that's in our future.
You gave a stat earlier. Did you say that a person in moderate to low income housing would have to work 86 hours to be able to fund?
Yes.
That's like double the work week, right?
Right.
Okay. Just wanted to share that in case you all didn't hear that when he shared that. There was so much good stuff given today. You want me to this last question? Sean.
Saul Kilbenow.
Saul Kilbenow. How is the affordable housing industry going to overcome or get around the inaction of current HUD leadership?
So I'm proud to be an old HUD guy. And the people there in Washington do work very hard. It is hard to figure what, you know, the leadership is going to be there in terms of the department. But, you know, the most important thing about housing, in my estimation, is, you know, follow the money. And the key this year, without a doubt, was the fact that the Congress pretty much set aside President Trump's budget and did the responsible thing and funded housing, for the most part, at last year's levels. So we're hopeful that they don't get in the way, to be quite honest. But really, just, you know, give us the resources and we'll do the good work.
One more question. I did want to also just stop and say thanks to the City Club staff. They certainly keep us on our toes, so I appreciate that, Zara. You see them running around. Jay and I are up here and other board members, but they're the ones who are behind the scenes making everything happen. Steve Greenbaum from the Senior Housing Group. Given the increasing numbers of income-limited seniors in need of affordable housing, does the authority plan to convert housing choice vouchers to project-based vouchers with interested developers? Good question.
So the answer is yes. We have actually converted, of our 15,000 or so, I think we've converted like 700 already. So at the moment, we are not converting any others. But, you know, the need for senior housing certainly is growing every day. But it's really across the board. I mean, it's special needs housing. It's poor families. So there's so many priorities. And these are tough choices we have to make. But to answer the question, we definitely think that project-based vouchers makes a lot of sense because you do get hard units in sometimes areas we want to build housing. At the moment, we can't project-base anymore because we've hit our limit. But yes, in the future, we will be doing more.
So I think first we owe him a round of applause because he shared so much information.